if it's locally owned.
It's Copper Row.
Organically grown.
It's Copper Row.
Your heart will warm.
It's Copper Row.
Got that hometown charm.
It's Copper Row.
It is time now for Conversations with the Mayors, presented by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce, a membership organization that serves and advances the business interests of our community and builds a sustainable community where business thrives. Get more info online at carolinachamber.org. And we are joined now, as always on Friday, by the mayor of Carborough, Lydia Lavelle. How are you?
I'm good, Aaron. You know, that little tagline made me think about the salute to community heroes.
That was last night.
The chamber sponsored.
There were a lot of people at University Place for that. That was a really cool
event.
You
know, it's such a really great idea to have it in University Place at this time of year. You know, it seems like every year lots and lots of people show up. And then you're reminded of all the cool shops and restaurants here at University Place. And then just a little kind of aside, once a year, the chamber has kind of an appreciation event for local elected officials and town key town leaders. And they used to do that in some years in June, and it got to be kind of hard to schedule it with the end of the kind of season, I guess. And what they've done the last couple of years is had that for an hour before this event. So it's kind of nice. You know, we kind of get there a little early and walk around and mingle and chat, and then we all go outside in the area, in the mall area, and get to see this event.
Very cool.
And it's really awesome to see our firefighters and our police officers recognized.
Who were some of the people that got recognized?
Oh, gosh. You know, so, you know, for Carborough, we had, you know, we had a relief driver, fire relief driver, Driver Riggs was recognized, and our police officer of the year was Sergeant Daniels. So some familiar faces to people who have been around Carborough a while. But, you know, they had a couple of other awards, which I think are awesome that they do, right? They have that Volunteer of the Year Citizen of the Year, and they have the Citizen of the Year was our own Robert Dowling, Carborough resident, of course, Community Home Trust. And then it was nice to see the Town and Gown Award given to Linda Convisor. You know, it's kind of cool to hear about her, the history of how she came into that position and what all she does. And, you know, she's going to be missed for a few months while she's out of town.
A little bittersweet because she's leaving that position, but she's done an amazing job in that role.
No, she totally has. Yeah. And as I understand it, she and Bruce are coming back in May.
Yeah,
so they'll be back here doing something. They're just going to get away for, you know, good weather.
Everyone, as they said, we're moving to Florida. Everyone got scared. I was like, no, we're wintering in Florida.
Right.
We're coming back.
Right.
We're coming back.
Yeah,
it's going to be okay.
Yeah, we're not moving. Don't worry.
Yeah, and kind of a good time to go down to Florida because and a good time to recognize first responders and people who work for the town and who work to devote themselves to the community because we're just getting over the winter storm. First big one of, well, second big one of 2018 because we had a foot of snow that fell in January that just kind of bookended the year. But the first big one of this season.
You're exactly right. And, you know, and it was kind of interesting because I was out of town right before this event. So I realized I didn't get to hear the 5 days of anticipation and lead up and loaves of bread and milk, you know. But we got back into town kind of late Saturday night. And then, of course, woke up Sunday morning with, you know, the beautiful scenery that we all had that day.
Yep.
but our Public Works Department, as usual, did really a bang-up job dealing with the elements, as did, you know, our police and fire and other folks. But one thing I did, Aaron, I did ask our Public Works Director just to give me, if he would, some, you know, highlights that I could share with you. Joe Guckafan is our Public Works Director. Mm-hmm. He's been on the job for about a year. Came from Pennsylvania. I think he thought he was going to get away from things like this. But anyway, Joe.
He brought it down with him.
He
is
did.
The
it's all Joe's fault.
Yeah.
So, but I asked him for a few thoughts for the recent storm, and so he gave me several thoughts. I want to share them with you. Mm-hmm. And one of them was, one of our mechanics was injured in the line of duty and lost part of his thumb. And I remember we got an email from our town manager David Andrews that this had happened, and you know, just kind of. You just kind of think about these people out there, you know, working on the plows and all these different things. So one of our folks really was seriously injured, and so that was one thing I wanted to say. And I understand he's doing well.
Good,
but,
good.
I hope to speak to him soon. Next, we had 22 dedicated staff that participated in the clearing and the cleanup effort. A third point Joe made. This is kind of interesting. Public Works built its own brine solution mixer and used it for the first time in this event. They produced and applied approximately 2,000 gallons of pre-treatment salt brine, you know, to the roadways, and then about 25 tons of salt, 50 tons of sand, and operated 10 different vehicles for the operation during the event. You know, again, we're 6.4 square miles. We're not huge, but that's actually a lot of moving around in our little town.
Yeah.
We had around-the-clock shifts, started Saturday evening and went through Tuesday, treating, clearing, cleaning up about 43 miles of roadway, over 8 miles of sidewalks and bike trails, because we've really started also prioritizing those walkways that in Carborough that so many people use to get around, and of course our bike paths.
Yeah.
Public Works it responded to over a dozen downed trees to open up roadways so that Duke Energy could gain access to downed lines to restore power to some areas. This really hits home because my neighborhood, Tally Ho Trail, we actually had two different areas where trees were just literally across the street, and we only have one way in, one way out. And when we lost power, we understand that's one of the reasons it took a while for Duke Energy to even be able to get back there because of the tree across the roads. But in any event, the fire, police, public works, communications, all of our departments, worked seamlessly together to cover the storm event. And, I hate to say, practice will make you more perfect, but it seems like we've had increasing storm events the last couple of years. And, we've learned some lessons, I think, from recent kind of storms.
Well, every single time you learn lessons from the previous one and you adjust the procedure for the next one, right?
You do.
Yeah.
You do. And we've learned and we've gotten different equipment and kind of no trouble spots in town. Mm. And each time we also hear about another trouble spot or another area where we can maybe respond in a little better way. But I got to tell you, I mean, honestly, our staff is just excellent. I mean, they're great, and they will do what they can to immediately try to deal with whatever calamity people are facing during these kind of events.
Well, you mentioned the sidewalks and the bike trails, and I know that's still a work in progress because you think about the roads first, but so many people use those sidewalks and bike trails in terms of getting from point A to point B in Carborough. Those are as important as the roadways are almost.
No,
so focusing on those too is cool.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because I know that our staff, as I understand it, they have like area A, priority one, and priority two, and then area B, priority one, priority two. And of course, very last are those little neighborhood roads where, you can kind of, as long as you can get out to the main road, then you're okay. But I do believe that part of area one, priority two, I think, is clearing off a lot of the sidewalks in town and walkways where people go, even before going to some of the arterial roads and the roads that go further from downtown, for that very reason. And I think I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, but we purchased a piece of equipment specifically for those sidewalks and for the greenways and the bike paths.
Do you know roughly how many people work for Public Works? I remember every time I talked to Tom Stevens in Hillsborough, it's like 8 people do all of this work in town.
But I don't know the total number that work for Public Works. I mean, we have, I know in the overall town, about 155.
Right.
I mean, we're kind of a small shop. But as Joe said, 22 participated in the clearing and cleanup event. So it's hard to imagine that not everyone got involved in some way in this event over those couple of days.
Well, I mean, you think about it, like just shoveling your driveway can be a bit of a task. And you imagine like thousands of people who live in town, all of the many, many roads and sidewalks that need to be cleared. And we've got a staff of about 22 people or so that take care of all of that for the entire town. It's just really impressive.
No, it is, absolutely. And just beyond that, I mean, that's really the town itself. But of course, because of the massive parking lots at the schools and at shopping centers and even places like this, it just takes several days to dig out.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, Conversations with the Mayors. And before we started talking about the snow, you mentioned you were out of town right before it began because you were at a really cool conference.
Yeah, so this is, it's called the Victory International LGBTQ Leaders Conference. And it's held every December in Washington, D.C. And it's put on by an organization that works to put LGBTQ people in elected office. Mm-hmm. And so I've gone a couple of times. I actually was involved. I've been involved with this group for years and years. They always endorse my campaigns. They serve as an endorsement. But it's a really awesome gathering of elected officials that just kind of look at issues and look at elections and look at how we can get our priorities passed through the lens of also being LGBTQ. And it's, you know, it's really fascinating how this group has become a bit of a force. I don't have the stats right in front of me, but this past election in November last month was one of the greatest on record in terms of the nation's first gay governor, you know, in Colorado, Jared Polis, in terms of the nation's first out trans person elected to a house in Virginia. And a couple of other races like that across the state, Tammy Baldwin getting reelected as a senator. I mean, you know, so there are a lot of stories kind of told of you know, efforts to oust those people or to stymie them from being reelected, and how the communities rose up and supported these leaders. And often, as is the case here in our community, right, it wasn't because necessarily they were LGBTQ. I mean, the community knew these would be good leaders. You know, in fact, it was really interesting. Danica Rome from Virginia, for the first trans person elected, told the story of a headline that was in one of the newspapers when she was running for office. And it was something like, trans candidate wants roadway repaired. It was something completely, why do you have to say trans, you know?
But
nonetheless, she ran on this kind of platform of, I will get this road rebuilt, and I will get, you know, rail here, and I will get transit here, and I will make, you know, transportation better in this corridor where her mother had driven for 38 years, and she knew how horrible it was. That got her elected. She's got enough of a personality and enough of a drive. She's getting it done. And her constituents are extremely happy at what she's getting, you know, following through on her promises, right? And so these stories of, yeah, there certainly are lots of areas where candidates, you know, kind of, you know, come out and kind of run hesitatingly with people understanding their personal life. But, you know, more and more empowering stories every year. And so it's really encouraging to, you have people from these people I just said to people like Barney Frank talking to the whole group about how it was many years ago when he was like the very first person out in elected office of a national stature. Yeah. So it was really, really fascinating. We had several local officials there. We took a North Carolina delegation picture.
That picture keeps growing every year, right?
It could have been even a lot bigger this year. We had seven or eight of us there, and it was really fun to have a North Carolina presence in the room.
Yeah, awesome. And I think there are certain circles in which just focusing on diversity gets a bad rap, but representation matters. It's not just Democrats versus Republicans or liberals versus conservatives, but, I mean, there have been studies after studies after studies that show that if there are more women in a legislature, women's issues get more consideration. If there are more LGBT elected officials, then those issues get more consideration as well.
Well, you look at things through a slightly different lens, you know, and that's why you appreciate a diversity of thought and opinion. You know, I'll give you an example. I consider myself a fairly young person, right? You know, although I admit I understand I'm in middle age, right? And I haven't really thought seriously about what it would be like near the end of my life, you know, assuming I make it, you know, several more years, but as a senior living an LGBT life. And, you know, one of the sessions I attended was really on the challenges a lot of seniors are facing across the United States who are LGBTQ, who, you know, in a lot of that population that's about, you know, say 20 years ahead of me, lived most of their lives being uncomfortable being out, you know, not really being able to be out.
Not being out at all.
And there's this group of folk who kind of have to go back in the closet as they look for assisted living or as they look for ways to entertain themselves or as their friends move on or pass away or as they lose partners. It's really kind of and especially in a country where there's no protection for LGBTQ people who are of senior age, of any age, but here we're talking about senior age. So that was a really interesting session for me to really hear about and think about. And I should have thought about that earlier. I should have been thinking about that, you know. So, yeah, it does inform your experience to kind of think about unique challenges that everyone faces.
What are some of the takeaways? What did you get from that conference that maybe other communities are doing that could be implemented in Carrboro?
Yeah. So some of it, I think, is also just the, you know, all are welcome spirit, right? Another was this emphasis on when you do have an LGBTQ center, making sure you have, you know, senior programs, like, you know, or conversely, if we have a senior center, which I know like we do on Homestead Road, and we have one, of course, in Hillsborough, make sure they have a visible, active LGBTQ senior group so that people can get together and visit and just have community. Because when you're a member of a small community, and that community kind of goes away, and the isolation that comes in with being a senior is even more pronounced when you're a member of a community that's a smaller community to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarrboro.org for more information on town government. Other things that people want to know about in town?
Well, I guess one last thing I want to say is I was unfortunately not able to be, because I was in D.C., to be at our annual tree lighting in front of Carrboro Town Hall last Friday night when the Carrboro Elementary School chorus sang. Thank you, Barbara Fushi, for leading them along in your cute little elf hat, you know. I will say that that holiday tree that we have out there, it's really magical to stand underneath the old elm tree or underneath the tree, both trees, just to be out there when the lights are on this time of year, especially with that little nip in the air. So as people are walking around Carrboro, you know, go by there in the dark and kind of stand around it. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. Townofcarrboro.org again for more information. Mayor Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.